Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Hello, this is Michael reading the San Angelo Standard Times for the week of July 5th, 2020. I'll be reading these articles on Thursday, July 9th, and we'll begin with these most recent articles from today and then go back into the other earlier published articles from the rest of the week. July 9th, San Angelo finds 44 new positive COVID-19 cases. Texas surpasses 100,000 active cases, from staff reports. Testing for the coronavirus in Tom Green County began February 29th. This article will be updated daily with information provided by the San Angelo Tom Green County Health Department via the City of San Angelo and state information from the Texas Department of State Health Services. Tom Green County, July 9th, 770 positive cases reported, 44 new positive cases, 482 patients being monitored, 4 deaths, 48 currently hospitalized. San Angelo Blood Drive to offer COVID-19 antibody tests and movie passes to donors, by Elena Edgen. A blood drive will offer donors in San Angelo the coronavirus antibody test and movie passes on Tuesday, according to a news release from Vitalant. A blood drive offering antibody tests to donors is set for 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday, July 14th at the conference rooms in Community Medical Center, 3501 Knickerbocker Road. Donors must enter the doors on the west end of the hospital and wear masks. Appointments are required and can be made by calling 877-258-4825 and using the code SACMC. People can also make an appointment online through bloodhero.com and use the same code. Donors will get the antibody test and 2 movie passes, according to the release. The release did not say where the passes could be redeemed. The drive is also taking extra precautions due to the coronavirus. Everyone will have their temperature checked upon arrival, keep 6 feet apart, and wear masks. Staff will also be sanitizing continuously, according to the release. San Angelo ISD to require children 10 and older to wear masks, updates class options, by John Tufts. Officials at San Angelo Independent School District announced that masks would be mandatory for children age 10 and older who are returning to class during the 2020-2021 school year. The health and safety of our students and staff remains our guiding priority, San Angelo ISD Superintendent Carl Detloff said. Detloff said the COVID-19 pandemic has created a fluid situation in which education officials needed to examine the latest health information to prepare for the coming school year. On Tuesday, July 7th, TEA released public health guidelines for reopening schools across Texas. As we work to create a thorough plan, we do want to provide an update as promised. At this time, what we know is you will still have the choice of in-classroom or virtual instruction, but with the ability to select your preference at each 9-week grading period. This is a change from the district's previous announcement, which required parents to make a selection of virtual instruction or in-classroom instruction for a full semester. Detloff also said wearing masks would be required for students age 10 and older in situations where social distancing wouldn't be possible. For in-class instruction, safety protocols will be in place, including distancing measures, Detloff said. In accordance with Governor Greg Abbott's order, masks will be required for all students age 10 and older when distancing measures are not feasible. District officials have ordered 130,000 masks for students who need them. Detloff said the district also had created what it called an enhanced online learning program and said more information about it would be released later. This situation is constantly evolving, and we will continue to update you as more information becomes available, Detloff said. We are in this together, and we look forward to our students and staff returning for another successful school year. Affidavit states, Lubbock double homicide reveals connection to San Angelo Juneteenth shooting, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man was arrested Thursday morning in connection to a double homicide in East Lubbock, according to a news release from the Lubbock Police Department. Just before midnight, July 2nd, Lubbock police responded to a shots fired call in the 300 block of Beach Avenue. When officers arrived, they found Michael Carson, 31, and Gregory Tubbs, 64, dead, according to an article by the Lubbock Avalanche Journal. A police report, reported by EverythingLubbock.com, stated officers found a woman screaming in the kitchen and standing over the men. Both Carson and Tubbs list San Angelo as their home on their Facebook profiles. Edward Wilson, 25, was arrested just after midnight Thursday, July 9th, on suspicion of murder. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $500,000 bond as of 9 a.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. Witnesses report shots fired, connection to San Angelo Juneteenth shooting. An arrest affidavit for Wilson detailed that he was meeting up with two San Angelo men to sell them a quantity of crack, according to the affidavit. Someone who lived in Wilson's previous address told officers they were walking when they saw Carson's white four-door car pull into the beach driveway. The witness saw a white SUV which had been in the driveway before the car. The witness continued walking for 3 to 4 minutes when they heard multiple gunshots from the residence, records state. A man ran from the house to the SUV while holding something, and the SUV left at a high rate of speed with no lights on. Another witness saw Wilson and another man in San Angelo's MLK Park on July 5th with a crowd of people. The witness said one of the men was bragging how he and Wilson had gone to Lubbock to rob Carson and Tubbs, according to the affidavit. The man continued to say something happened. Carson and Tubbs were shot, and Wilson and the man stole money and drugs. The same witness told investigators about a shooting during a Juneteenth celebration in San Angelo, which involved Wilson, records state. The witness saw Wilson with a black handgun shooting at another man who was shooting back. Lubbock investigators contacted San Angelo police about the Juneteenth shooting. The Juneteenth and double homicide shell casings matched, according to the affidavit. Wilson has not been charged in the Juneteenth shooting as of noon Thursday, according to online jail records. 2020 Cowboy Way Jubilee in San Angelo canceled due to COVID-19. Reset for 2021, by Rosanna Aguilera. The Cowboy Way Jubilee, scheduled for July 23rd through the 26th in San Angelo, has been canceled due to COVID-19, according to producer Leslie Fisher. We were looking forward to bringing the three-day modern Wild West experience to Fort Concho, Fisher said. We are as disappointed as the fans who were looking forward to getting up close and personal with Western stars, entertainers, and authors. We are already planning the big event for 2021. Fisher moved from Oklahoma to San Angelo this year to bring the Cowboy Way Jubilee to West Texas. It had already been postponed from April, but Fisher was hopeful she would get a green light for the event in July. I've had a very good experience in San Angelo working with Bob Bluthart of Fort Concho and Susanna Valenzuela with the Convention and Visitors Bureau, Fisher said. I know we will have an excellent event in 2021, thanks to all their hard work and cooperation. Cowboy Way Jubilee 2021 will be April 29th through May 2nd at Fort Concho in San Angelo. Tickets purchased for 2020 can be exchanged for the bigger and better than ever 2021 event. National Weather Service proposes changes to alert system. Here's the Survey to Give Input by Rosanna Aguilera. The San Angelo Abilene National Weather Service is proposing changes to the current alert system and wants your input. Your NWS is proposing changes to make our alerts simpler and more useful, according to a news release. The survey is available on surveymonkey.com. The National Weather Service is proposing using plain language headlines and alerts to make reading simpler and more understanding. For example, NWS uses three headline terms, watch, warning, and advisory, to let people know about hazardous events. Watch, life or property threatening event is possible. Warning, life or property threatening event is happening or about to happen. Advisory, less significant event is happening or about to happen, and if caution is not exercised, could lead to situations that threaten life and or property. The proposed new system would have only two primary headline terms, watch and warning. The advisory headline would be replaced by a plain language headline, according to the survey. Here is an example of how the headlines would change. Current, wind advisory remains in effect from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Proposed, gusty winds from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. The survey is open through August 21, 2020. Here's which San Angelo businesses received Paycheck Protection Program loans during pandemic by John Tufts. The U.S. Small Business Administration released a list this week of which businesses have received Paycheck Protection Program loans during the COVID-19 pandemic. Officials with the Small Business Administration said the loans are designed to provide a direct incentive for small businesses to continue paying their workers amid closures and other hardships brought on by the coronavirus. As many as 182 San Angelo businesses and nonprofits filed for PPP loans in excess of $150,000, which amounted to a total of between $57 million to more than $139 million in loans, according to data provided by the Small Business Administration. The largest amount of money listed among those that received PPP loans between $2 and $5 million include automatic fire protection, 175 jobs retained. BEPC Incorporated, 248 jobs retained. Reese Albert Incorporated, 250 jobs retained. Sendero Drilling Company, 101 jobs retained. TLC Academy, no data cited. There were additionally 1,457 other employers listed in San Angelo who filed PPP loans for under $150,000, totaling $48,713,019.28, according to Small Business Administration data. The loan will be fully forgiven if the funds are used for payroll costs, interest on mortgages, rent, and utilities, according to officials with the Small Business Administration. Among other conditions, officials said PPP loans have an interest rate of 1%, loan payments will be deferred for 6 months, no collateral or personal guarantees are required for the loans, and neither the government nor lenders will charge small businesses any fees. Police say San Angelo woman stole taxi, police find items belonging to other stolen car, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo woman has been arrested after police found stolen IDs, a stolen taxi, and money, according to a San Angelo police news release. About 3:40 p.m. Tuesday, July 7th, police responded to the area of Lindell and Bertha Streets in response to a woman who stole a taxi van from its driver, according to the release. Officers found the taxi near Juanita and Woodlawn Streets and conducted a traffic stop on the vehicle. The investigation revealed several ID and bank cards belonging to other people, along with the license plates and a title to a recently recovered stolen vehicle, according to the release. Police also found the taxi driver's stolen cab fare and tips in the woman's waistband. Desiree Enriquez, 30, was arrested on suspicion of unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, evading arrest, detention, misdemeanor theft of property, and theft of service. There could be more charges pending the outcome of the investigation, according to the release. City of San Angelo partners with three hotels to quarantine non-emergent COVID-19 patients, by Rosanna Aguilera. The City of San Angelo is partnering with three hotels to house patients with COVID-19, according to a news release. These rooms are for patients who do not necessarily need to be in the hospital, but need somewhere to isolate themselves while they are still contagious, or to quarantine while they are awaiting test results. This is specifically meant to aid in overflow capacity from the hospitals, stated the release. To fund this, the city has applied for the Texas Division of Emergency Management, TDEM, with a request for public assistance, RPA, to aid in providing non-congregant sheltering for citizens in need. The amount approved in the past by TDEM was $636,480. The city applied for an extension, required every 30 days, of the RPA on June 26th and is waiting for the authorization to continue the program. The city will be reimbursed for these expenditures through either the TDEM program previously mentioned or through the $1.1 million that the city budgeted today, July 7th, from the Federal CARES Act. This act was granted by the U.S. Treasury for cities under 500,000 people. This funding is also administered through the state by TDEM. While the non-congregant shelter grant can only be used for that purpose, the CARES grant can aid with the city's public health, public safety, and medical expenses. The city was awarded almost $5.5 million through this grant, but the state is allowing an initial drawdown of 20% of the grant, which for San Angelo is $1.1 million. The grant has restrictions for its use and can be used for the following eligible expenses. 1. Medical expenses. 2. Public health expenses. 3. Payroll expenses for public safety, public health, health care, human services, and similar employees whose services are substantially dedicated to mitigating or responding to the COVID-19 public health emergency. 4. Expenses of actions to facilitate compliance with COVID-19-related public health measures. 5. Expenses associated with the provision of economic support in connection with the COVID-19 public health emergency. 6. Any other COVID-19-related expenses reasonably necessary to the function of government that satisfy the fund's eligibility criteria. 75% of the funds must be used for items 1 through 4. Tom Green County Jail completes move to bigger facility, by Elena Edgen. The Tom Green County Sheriff's Office announced the move to the new Tom Green County Jail was completed Tuesday afternoon. Starting at 4 a.m. Tuesday morning, jail staff began the process of moving inmates from the old facility at 34 West Harris Avenue to the new facility at 4382 North U.S. Highway 277. More than 400 inmates were moved, with the last group arriving at the new jail at 3:55 p.m. This move follows a five-year building construction project. The new facility can house 552 inmates, according to the release. The jail's phone number will remain the same, 325-659-6590. Staff are in the process of setting up video visitation, and in-person visitation during the coronavirus pandemic is pending Governor Greg Abbott's orders. Inmates can make calls from the new facility starting Tuesday, according to the release. The previous facility was built in 1977, could hold 449 inmates, and went through two renovations, according to the release. Person fired rounds into ground near San Angelo residence. No arrest made, by Rosanna Aguilera. Multiple shots fired calls in San Angelo Wednesday morning ended in no arrests after police discovered someone had fired a gun into the ground, according to police scanner traffic. About 11:20 a.m. Wednesday, July 8th, dispatch reported multiple calls for shots fired in the wooded areas across Bryant Boulevard between 14th and 19th Streets, according to scanner traffic. Officers found a man putting a firearm in the trunk of a vehicle. The man then tried to direct officers in another direction, according to scanner traffic. Officers located a residence and determined a person fired rounds into the ground, but not in the direction of others or property, said Tracy Piet Fox, public information officer for San Angelo Police. It will be referred to municipal court. For 40 years, Colonel Charles Powell made positive impact in San Angelo. By Mike Conaway, U.S. Representative for Texas's 11th Congressional District. On Wednesday, July 8th, San Angelo will be saying farewell to one of its most beloved citizens as Colonel Charles E. Powell, U.S. Air Force, is laid to rest, surrounded by friends, family, and most importantly, his cherished wife, Joanne. Charles truly embodied what it means to be an American, and this is a loss that will understandably reverberate through the community. His genuine love for God and others, dedication to his family, and service to his country and community set the gold standard of excellence that we should all strive for. Although he is leaving this earth, his legacy will live on through the countless lives he has impacted during his lifetime. At the center of Charles's world was Joanne, and their love story is one for the ages. From meeting in preschool to graduating high school together and raising their daughter Terry as Charles's missions took him around the globe, their commitment to each other never wavered. San Angelo was forever changed when these two Spitfires flew into town in 1980. Charles was appointed as the wing commander at Goodfellow Air Force Base, which was slated for closure at the time. Charles and Joanne leapt into action to further the relationship between Goodfellow and the community of San Angelo while completely transforming the mission of the base. After Charles's 4 years as wing commander, not only was Goodfellow removed from the closure list, but Goodfellow and San Angelo's successful connection stands as the premier example of a successful military-civilian partnership. Thankfully, after Charlie retired from the service, the Powells never left San Angelo. Instead, they immediately set to work planting deep roots in the community and making San Angelo a better place to live. These two have been some of the most dedicated public servants San Angelo has ever seen. Through their innumerable service initiatives, they have been Goodfellow's most dedicated champions who served as a bridge joining San Angelo and Goodfellow. Through it all, Charlie and Joanne stood together, side by side and hand in hand. They transformed countless lives, not the least of them being my own. I had the pleasure of meeting the Powells when I first ran for Congress in 2004, and in 2005, I hired Joanne on as the first member of my staff. At that point, I could never have imagined the depth of the impact that Charlie and Joanne would have on me, my family, and every member of my team over the years to come. Joanne is the longest-standing member of my staff, and she and Charlie have seen me through the ups and downs, all the while tirelessly serving the constituents of the Concho Valley. Within my office, Joanne took on the responsibility of shepherding young men and women through the congressional nomination process for applying to the United States military academies, while Charlie chaired the board responsible for vetting and recommending them to me for nomination. Their teamwork resulted in many young women and men from our district receiving appointments to these prestigious institutions of higher learning, further extending the tradition of service to our country to future generations. I cannot put into words the immense honor that it is to have Charlie and Joanne as a part of our family. My wife, Suzanne, and I feel tremendously lucky to have the opportunity to learn from them and count them among our closest friends. Colonel Powell will be greatly missed, but I take comfort in knowing his legacy will continue on in the people who loved him and the community he was so proud to call home. Affidavit states, man held realistic gun to passenger's head while driving in Grape Creek by Elena Edgen. A Houston man has been arrested after one person had a realistic gun held to their head, was threatened, and chased on Highway 87 in Grape Creek on Friday, according to an arrest affidavit. On Friday, July 3rd, Tom Green County Sheriff's deputies responded to the 8600 block of U.S. Highway 87 North in Grape Creek to a shots fired call. An investigation discovered that a man driving a vehicle with five passengers had been drinking and turned violent without provocation, records state. The driver pulled out a black handgun and threatened two passengers. He held the gun to the head of one of the passengers, saying that he would shoot and kill them, according to the affidavit. He struck the same passenger's upper forehead with the gun, which left a bump. The driver removed the magazine from the gun and told the passenger he still had a bullet to shoot them with, records state. When the vehicle stopped, the passenger tried to run away and was pursued by the driver until another passenger stopped him. The passengers believed the gun was real, though the driver believed it to be a realistic BB gun, according to the affidavit. Deputies discovered a magazine for the gun in the vehicle, which matched a BB gun. They also found the driver in possession of less than 2 ounces of marijuana, records state. Deputies arrested Teogen Tuyasabi, 23, Friday, on suspicion of possession of marijuana and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He was released from Tom Green County Jail the next day on a $36,000 bond, according to online jail records. 2020 Southern Drag Boat Races and Nearby Parks in San Angelo Closed to the Public by Elena Edgen. Just a week before the event, the 2020 Southern Drag Boat Races has announced that the San Angelo show will be closed to the public, according to a city news release. The races are still scheduled for July 11th through the 12th, but will be a private event for participants, officials, event staff, and sponsors. This decision was made in response to Governor Greg Abbott's limiting of large gatherings in an effort to slow the spread of coronavirus, according to the release. During the event, the section of Lake Nasworthy that goes towards Spring Creek and Middle Concho Parks will be closed to the public. Parks around Lake Nasworthy, Middle Concho Park, and Spring Creek Parks are closed through July 13th. People who have bought public access tickets will receive refunds. Ernest Tubb Tribute Concert, benefiting the San Angelo VFW, to be held in Big Spring. By Rosanna Aguilera. An Ernest Tubb tribute concert is taking place in Big Spring, with dancing, auctions, food, and more benefiting the San Angelo VFW. The concert was scheduled to take place in San Angelo, but the VFW had to close because of government mandate. The event will now be at The Stampede, 301 West 4th Street in Big Spring, on Saturday, July 11th. Doors will open at 11 a.m., and dancing will be from noon to midnight, with music from Jeff Woosley, Justin Trevino, Myra Rowland, and Jody Nix. Tickets are $45 a person, reserved tables of 6 are $250, and a table of 8 is $350. Tickets will be sold at the door and in advance. Call Terry Holland at 325-763-9923 or Janet Shepherd at 325-655-6550 to purchase a ticket or reserve a table. We hope people will come out and enjoy the music and enjoy the day, and we can raise money for the veterans, Holland said. Tubb lived and worked in San Angelo from 1930 to 1945, Holland said. He worked and sang here while moving up the music charts in country music, Holland said. In 1941, he wrote Swell San Angelo because he loved it here. Nothing has ever been done in Angelo to honor his legacy here. Actual Ernest Tubb memorabilia will be at the event, including original wardrobes he wore. While living in San Angelo, Tubb worked at a mattress store, had a radio show with KGKL, worked for a beer distributing company, opened a tavern, and much more. It started right here in San Angelo, which is awesome, Holland said. Affidavit states San Angelo woman threatened to blow up police department on July 4th by Elena Edgen. Police arrested a San Angelo woman on the 4th of July after she threatened to blow up the San Angelo Police Department in retaliation for seized property, according to an arrest affidavit. On Saturday, July 4th, an officer responded to a report of a terroristic threat in which a woman made numerous calls to dispatch, threatening to blow up the San Angelo Police Department, according to the affidavit. The woman said police had taken property she claimed belonged to her and threatened to blow up the department as a result, records state. The affidavit did not indicate what property may have been taken or why. Police found the woman at a motel in the 400 block of West Beauregard Avenue. Officers arrested Katie Sherwood, 44, Saturday on suspicion of terroristic threat against peace officers. She remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $15,000 bond as of 12:45 p.m. Monday, according to online jail records. COVID-19 in San Angelo, Know Your Demographic Risk, by Kenneth L. Stewart and Casey Jones of Pathways to Progress. About 47% of Americans lost income from employment with the onset of COVID-19. That estimate comes from the first weekly survey the Census Bureau started conducting on April 23rd to take the pulse of America's households during the pandemic. The same survey estimated that more than 24 million dealt with food shortages, nearly 86 million delayed medical care, about 42 million had difficulty paying for housing, and more than 65 million were navigating changes in children's educational activities. Similar small business pulse surveys the Census Bureau started on April 26th estimated that about 72% of businesses with 500 or fewer employees have cut employees or reduced paid work hours, with more than 126,000 dead Americans, including over 2,400 Texans. The human destruction of the pandemic is apocalyptic. A local surge. COVID-19 infections have surged in Tom Green County during recent weeks. On the week ending July 3rd, the city's coronavirus website headlined a total of 504 COVID-19 cases, but close reading of the data indicated that 402 of the reported cases were Tom Green County residents. The remainder were residents of different Texas counties or other states. Given the recent surge, we launched an exploration of demographic factors that help shape the risk of the virus spreading and across the population of communities. We started by downloading each county's COVID-19 cases recorded by Department of State Health Services, DSHS. Since we followed the DSHS practice of assigning cases to the person's county of residence, the data shows 408 cases for Tom Green County on July 4th. The state records lag those released locally. The local surge, bending the curve upward, started almost 2 weeks after Memorial Day on May 25th, as cases laddered up after June 5th. The number of infected Tom Green residents more than tripled from 69 on June 5th to 241 by June 27th in the official state record. Of course, the local case count has continued to climb a steep ladder since we collected the data for our study. Correlated risk factors. To explore risk factors related to the spread of COVID-19, we collected statistics on 35 different demographic characteristics in all 254 Texas counties. We retrieved the Census Bureau's most recent five-year averages from the American Community Surveys conducted between 2014 and 2018 because we wanted data describing the counties before the onset of the pandemic. Analysis of statistical associations between the 35 population and housing characteristics and coronavirus cases in Texas counties revealed 14 strong positive correlations. A positive correlation means that increases in a population or housing characteristic match higher case numbers in the counties. The statistical computation for correlation produces a decimal fraction between 0 and 1. The closer result is to 1, the stronger the correlation between a demographic characteristic and the county case numbers. The lowest correlation from our analysis is 0.83 between the size of the group quarters population, people living in nursing homes, jails, dormitories, residential treatment facilities, etc., and number of COVID-19 cases in counties. The strongest correlation is 0.99 between the number of multi-unit or mobile housing structures in counties and total virus cases. The 14 characteristics with strong correlations to the distribution of infections across the counties fall into four categories. The first involves groups known to be vulnerable to COVID-19. Those include people of color, the disability population, the medically uninsured, seniors aged 65 and over, and the population living in group quarters. The average correlation between the size of these vulnerable groups and the number of cases in Texas counties is 0.94. The second category highlights various housing characteristics. These include the number of households in poverty, those receiving SNAP food stamp benefits, crowded housing, more than one occupant per room, lack of internet connections, and multi-unit or mobile housing structures. These features of county housing stock have an average correlation of 0.97 with the number of virus cases in counties of Texas. Two types of occupational groups comprise the third category of characteristics strongly correlated to COVID-19 cases: construction and manufacturing employees who work in close contact with one another are one type. The other is a group of occupations, including the arts, entertainment, recreation, food services, retail trade, transportation, education, health, social and personal services that create social contact with patrons. The average correlation between the size of these occupational groups in COVID-19 cases is 0.98. Two features of population mobility form the final category: the total number of people who changed their residential location over the past year is the first mobility factor, while the second concerns the number moving into a county from another state or nation. The average correlation of 0.97 reveals a strong connection between population mobility and virus cases in Texas counties. Risks of exposure. Based on the correlates of COVID-19, we extended the analysis by developing estimates of elevated risk due to shared demographic traits. The accompanying chart compares our estimates of elevated risks of exposure in the local community compared to the average of all Texas counties. Because the analysis uses the Census Bureau's 2014 to 2018 American Community Surveys, the estimates of are probably somewhat lower than actual numbers in Tom Green County and Texas today. Even so, the results indicate that approximately 54,271 Tom Green County residents shared a level of elevated risk of exposure because of their inclusion in one or more vulnerable groups. In addition, about 37,492 local workers have jobs that expose them to some elevated level of risk. According to Census Bureau estimates, the number of new arrivals to the county averaged 19,844 between 2014 and 2018. While mobility creates many positive social and economic impacts, it also adds to the risk of spreading the virus across local populations. Finally, residents in about 14,680 housing units in Tom Green County share elevated risks due to poverty, food insecurity, lack of internet access, crowding, or living in multi-unit or mobile structures. Conclusions. Who among us does not know individuals with demographic characteristics that elevate risks of exposure to COVID-19? Indeed, characteristics that correlate to the spread of coronavirus across Texas counties drive across a key point. If I become infected, it can kill me and some of the people I know and love. Yet sadly, our national and statewide leaders have played political football in a game that generates terribly inconsistent and contradictory messages. Two results of their game are especially threatening. First is the baffling idea that increased cases of infection are the result of increased testing. Some people seem to think this means that additional cases are fake news, but any interpretation remotely like this is truly deadly. It is like saying there will be no additional cases of cancer and no more cancer deaths if we stop testing more people for the disease. The important message about additional COVID-19 testing is the lesson epidemiologists learn from something called positivity. The positivity rate is simply the ratio between the number of new cases confirmed by the number of new tests delivered over a weekly period of time. The standard epidemiological interpretation is that a virus is threatening to get out of control as the number of new cases exceeds the number of new tests by more than 5%. According to a recent Texas Tribune report, Governor Abbott has made more lenient claims. Anything below 7.2% is going to be a good number. But if the positivity test rate is more than 10%, that's one of those red flags that we begin to look at. Our calculations of the local positivity rate show that new confirmed cases exceeded the number of new tests in Tom Green County by 1.5% during the week before Memorial Day. The rate climbed, however, to 16.5% for the week ending June 27th when we collected data for this analysis. The local health authority was on more than solid ground that weekend when retail stores with occupancy of more than 100 people were ordered to require face masks. Face masks are the second dangerous issue emerging from the political games of national and state leaders. They help give traction to the idea that face masks are optional, unmanly, or some extremists say, a government plot to undermine life and liberty. The correlates of coronavirus reviewed in this article say this is nonsense. Any face mask bravado will quickly melt into deep sorrow and regret when we become infected and it spreads it to associates, friends, and loved ones. Without lending moral support, leaders in Washington and Austin have left the heavy lifting on COVID-19 to the local community. Help do the lifting. Support local leadership decisions that help control the virus. Wash hands often. Practice social distancing. Avoid large groups. Wear a mask. Contact Kenneth L. Stewart at kenneth.stewart@angelo.edu or Casey Jones at casey.jones@angelo.edu. Is it a murder hornet? Probably not. Here's what it could be, though, by Kay Ledbetter, Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. Texas A&M AgriLife experts say Texans mistakenly identifying cicada killer wasps as Asian giant hornets. Since the release of information about Asian giant hornets, Texas A&M AgriLife entomologists are being inundated with cicada killers and other look-alike insects submitted for identification as a possible murder hornet, which thus far has only been found in Washington State in the U.S. Many insects are being mistaken for the Asian giant hornet. While the agency wants to continue to encourage Texans to be vigilant and watching for the Asian giant hornet, they also want to help provide guidance that will help narrow the focus. David Ragsdale, Ph.D., Chief Scientific Officer and Associate Director of Texas A&M AgriLife Research and Professor in the Department of Entomology, said many photos of Texas native cicada killers, or ground hornets, are being submitted as suspected Asian giant hornets. He said their website receives 5 to 10 photos a day, and agency pest management agents and specialists around the state have also been handling inquiries. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's a cicada killer. In May, the concern about Asian giant hornet was enough to prompt Governor Greg Abbott to request a task force be mobilized to prepare Texas against the Asian giant hornet's arrival. But June is the normal month for the cicada killer wasp, a common large wasp in Texas, to start showing up, and this prompted posts on Facebook and in news feeds mistakenly reporting cicada killer wasps as sightings of the Asian giant hornet. Most everyone has seen the cicada killer wasp that is very large, but has mostly been ignored in the past, Ragsdale said. With the most recent news of the Asian giant hornet, they are now paying attention to the native Texas insect. While some people thought they had been seeing the newly pictured murder hornets for years, AgriLife Extension experts want to clarify, no, you haven't. Now they are providing outlets to help tell the difference between the Asian giant hornet and similar-looking pests. Holly Davis, Ph.D., Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service entomologist in Weslaco, and Pat Porter, Ph.D., AgriLife Extension entomologist in Lubbock, recently developed a short video explaining the differences between the murder hornet and several common lookalikes here in Texas. To date, we have identified hundreds of insects that people in Texas suspect might be Asian giant hornets, murder hornets, Porter said. 80% of these have been either the eastern cicada killer or western cicada killer. It is understandable how non-entomologists would have trouble deciding which was which. How to tell the difference? First, the Asian giant hornet is native to Japan and South Korea, and it has only been found in parts of British Columbia, Canada, and the northwestern corner of Washington State, Davis said. There have been no confirmed reports of these hornets in other U.S. locations, including Texas. There are a number of Texas native species of wasp, hornet, yellow jacket, and bees. But what really separates the Asian giant hornet and a few of our native species is their size. The ones most likely to be confused with Asian giant hornet are three species of cicada killers and the pigeon horntail. The Asian giant hornet is the world's largest known hornet, measuring 1.5 to 2 inches in length. It has a head as wide as its shoulders, where the wings and legs are located, or wider. And it is a bright orange or yellow. The thorax, or shoulder portion where the wings and legs are connected, is a dark brown, as are the antenna. It has a much smaller or pinched waist, and then smooth-looking brown and orange stripes cover the abdomen. The cicada killers, of which there are three different species here in Texas, are also quite large, measuring 1 to 1.5 inches in length. But they will all typically have a head that is narrower than the thorax. The head and the thorax are typically the same color, a darker orange or brown color. It does have a pinched waist, but the stripes on the abdomen will be jagged and sometimes look like mountains. The eastern cicada killer tends to be black and yellow. The western cicada killer is closer in color to the Asian giant hornet, being reddish, brown, and yellow. But there is no contrasting color between the head and thorax, and the stripes are jagged on the western cicada killer. The other group of insects that are most commonly confused with the Asian giant hornet are the horntail, or wood wasps. They are large, have a distinct head that is as wide or wider than the thorax, and may share the same coloration as the Asian giant hornet. However, there is one trait that is easy to spot that is different, and that is the waist. Horntails lack any appearance of a waist. Harmful or just alarming? The Asian giant hornet preys on bees and can decimate local honeybee populations, essential for most fruit and vegetable crop production. The Asian giant hornets are also fiercely protective of their nests and will deploy painful stings that can cause fatal allergic reactions in people already sensitive to bee stings. The cicada killer and wood wasps, however, are solitary and thus do not aggressively protect their nesting sites by attacking in large numbers, Davis said. Cicada killers, however, may cause alarm due to the male's territorial behavior, dive bombing or buzzing people and animals that walk into their territory. Although cicada killers are solitary, you can often find numerous individuals in areas with sandy soils where females dig nests in the ground, she said. These nests appear as dime to quarter-sized holes. As females come and go, provisioning their nest with cicadas, they paralyze with a sting and carry back to their nests. The males are more interested in mating. Thus, they may try to chase off intruders they perceive as a threat to their mating opportunities. However, male wasps are not capable of stinging. Thus, they are not dangerous, just a nuisance for a few weeks out of the year during the nesting season. Females can sting, but are not aggressive, and reports of stings are rare. Horntails and wood wasps may have what appear to be very long stingers, but they are unable to sting. They lack venom glands, and instead, they use this structure called an ovipositor to insert eggs into plant tissue. Hence, the name wood wasp, Davis said. San Angelo residents gather to protest COVID-19 orders and other concerns, by John Tufts and Colin Murphy. The Freedom Rally, a peaceful protest by people sick of the government being in control of our lives, took place Saturday. Freedom of choice needs to make a return in our society, and what better day to exercise our rights and demonstrate our frustrations than 4th of July, said Coco Simpson, who organized the event with Caleb Wallace. Wallace said the event was about sending a message to those in charge. We are not real happy with the current state of America at the moment, Wallace said. That's the reason we are here, is we know we need to start local, and it's a big feat to accomplish, and I can't do it alone. And I know there are people out there who believe the same thing. About 75 people gathered at the Tom Green County Courthouse for the event to express frustration with Governor Greg Abbott and local health authority orders related to the coronavirus pandemic. Signs at the protest also took aim at the media and asked for journalism, not propaganda, and called for people to defend the police. After the protest began, people noticed the U.S. flag wasn't flying on the courthouse lawn and raised a flag someone brought to the event. The group then marched to City Hall before disbanding. Indictment states San Angelo man found with porn of children as young as 6 during homicide investigation, by Elena Edgen. Update: a San Angelo man has been indicted after the Texas Rangers found child pornography while investigating the shooting death of Sterling Mickey Riley. An indictment filed June 18th charged Adrian Hernandez Villarreal, 23, with 3 counts of possession of child pornography. Each count is a third-degree felony, punishable by up to 10 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Villarreal was released from Tom Green County Jail on a $240,000 bond on May 28th, according to online jail records. Affidavit states, drunk and distracted driver leaves 2 children, 1 man injured in Robert Lee crash, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man was arrested Wednesday after 3 people, including 2 children, suffered broken bones during a 2-vehicle crash involving alcohol and a cell phone, according to the arrest affidavit. Around 9:15 p.m. June 28th, a Texas Department of Public Safety state trooper arrived at a 2-vehicle crash on State Highway 208 in Robert Lee. 2 Chevrolet pickups, 1 brown and 1 white, had collided. Records state. The white pickup, which contained a man and 2 children, had rolled onto its passenger side. There were numerous beer cans in and around the white pickup, according to the affidavit. All 4 people were taken to Shannon Medical Center for treatment. The driver of the brown pickup and children from the white pickup sustained numerous broken bones from the crash, records state. The children's injuries included broken pelvises and femurs. The driver of the brown pickup had broken bones in his arms, ankles, and face, along with a broken vertebra, records state. An investigation revealed the driver of the white pickup was driving on the wrong side of the road. The driver told investigators he had been drinking earlier and had been on his cell phone at the time of the crash, according to the affidavit. Kenneth Eric Olson, 38, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of three counts of intoxication assault with a vehicle, resulting in serious bodily injury. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $105,000 bond as of 1:15 p.m. Thursday, according to online jail records. First responders diverted from San Angelo to address COVID-19 in the Valley by Colin Murphy. First responders and two ambulances from the San Angelo Fire Department were sent to Brownsville on Sunday, June 28th, to help strained resources there address a 400% increase in call volume and hospitals approaching capacity due to the coronavirus. In addition to the two ambulances, four emergency medical technicians, EMT, were also dispatched to help in Brownsville. The assistance was provided after a request from the Texas Emergency Medical Task Force. The resources are scheduled for a 10-day deployment with the Emergency Medical Service in Cameron County, according to information from the City of San Angelo. Positive cases of the coronavirus have skyrocketed in the last 2 weeks across Texas and several other states, causing Governor Abbott to slow down efforts to reopen the state economy and, in some cases, to reverse decisions to open businesses entirely. Bars have been ordered to close their doors again, leading to demonstrations across Texas. In Tom Green County, cases also are increasing and had reached more than 460 cases, with 256 of them being actively monitored by health officials on Thursday, July 2nd. July 2020 Gardening Events Planned in San Angelo by Susan Stanfield, special to the San Angelo Standard-Times. It's shaping up to be a normal hot summer in the Concho Valley. The People Plant Connection has two gardening seminars to help make your gardening easier and more productive. In July, we are introducing our newest program, Roots and Shoots. It's a family gardening program. All events will be taken to keep the PPC studio a safe place to learn about gardening and art. Masks are welcome and social distancing will be practiced. Due to social distancing, there will be limited spaces for attendees, so pre-registration will be required for all seminars and art classes. This is a great time to continue learning about different gardening techniques to apply to your garden and landscape. The newest program offered by the People Plant Connection coming in July is Roots and Shoots. This family gardening program will teach families the basics of starting and maintaining a garden at home. There will be an activity for the young gardeners at each class. The program is weekly for 4 weeks, beginning Thursday, July 9th, and continuing through July 30th. The cost for the session is $48. The class will be from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. each week. Space is limited due to social distancing. Reservations are required. Call 325-656-3104. All adults must be accompanied by a youth 6 years and older. The class will be held at the PPC studio, 416 South Oak Street, San Angelo. Lunch and Learn Gardening Class, Thursday, July 17th from noon to 1 p.m. Allison will be talking about Xeriscape, not Xeroscape, beautiful desert landscapes. You can have a beautiful landscape with beautiful blooming yet drought-tolerant plants while conserving water. Learn the basics of Xeriscape landscaping and the best plants. Cost is $5 per person. Due to social distancing, reservations are required. Call 325-656-3104. All proceeds from these classes and seminars go toward the organization's Education Garden project at the Southside Rec Center. To learn more about the People Plant Connection, check out their website at peopleplantconnection.org or follow them on Facebook. Thank you for joining us for the reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.